Anna Fairclough, Chair of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. I'm looking for who's going to take roll.
Yes.
We have the clerk is online and will take roll. Madam Clerk.
Senator Meyer.
Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Giesel.
Here.
Senator Olson. Senator Dunleavy. Chair Fairclough.
Here.
Representative Osterman.
Here.
Representative Herron.
Here.
Representative Olson. Representative Josephson.
Here.
Representative Stoltz. Representative Kawasaki.
Here.
Representative Hawker.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I would like to note for the committee that Senator Dunleavy is en route and will also join us briefly just to make sure that we had a quorum today. I'm not sure how long he could stay with us. Just for the record, today is August 22nd. It's a Thursday. We're in the Anchorage LIO. It is 1:36, and we're ready to take up the first agenda item. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the minutes from the LBNA meeting on April 6th, that would be 2013, be approved as presented.
I'll object. I'd just like to speak to that for a moment. I did review the minutes, and if I could ask the clerk, on the top of page 4, Vice Chair Hawker is referred to as the chairman in the first and second paragraph, and I'm wondering if, for consistency's sake, if we could change all of Representative Hawker's titles in the minutes to be vice chair, just for consistency's sake, because we refer to him as representative, chairman, and vice chair, I think, through the document.
Yes, we will make it consistent. Thank you.
Comments about that from committee members? Is there agreement or?
Don't get to.
Please.
No, ma'am.
Vice Chair Hawker, please. hearing no objection.
And I would like, for the record, to note that is completely appropriate, as it is a vice chair seat. It is not a co-chair situation.
Thank you. Hearing no objections, those minutes are approved with the previously stated changes. Next on the agenda, item number 2 is RPL. David Teal, the Legislative Finance Director, will briefly walk us through the request.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, I'm David Teal, Director of the Legislative Finance Division. There are two RPLs in front of you today. The first is number 05-4-12, and in it, the Alaska State Council on Arts in the Department of Education and Early Development requests $160,000 of additional statutory designated program receipts. They're asking for authority to receive and spend that money from the Rasmussen Foundation. The money would be used to continue the administration of the Harper Arts Touring Program and to begin a new program there, the Youth Cultural Heritage Program. It's not the first time this topic has been in front of you. The two prior or previous RPLs for the same purpose are attached to the request. And if this request is approved, the funding for these programs will increase from $220,000 to $380,000 in 2014. No general fund match requirements, no new positions, no technical problems.
Are there questions from committee members on this RPL? Representative Osterman, if I could, for those online, we are reviewing right now a document from David Teal dated August 9th. You should have received those electronically, so just so that everyone's on the same page. Representative Osterman.
Thank you. David, is there any matching funds required with this program?
Through the chair, no.
Thank you.
Other questions from committee members? Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee of this is the first RPL. I move and ask unanimous consent the committee approve RPL number 05-4-0012 for the Department of Education and Early Development, $160,000 in SDPR, statutory designated program receipts.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, that RFP is awarded.
The second RPL is number 09-4-0020, and you'll note that this is an FY13 capital RPL. In it, the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs is requesting that $150,000 of federal receipt authority be added to that FY13 National Guard Counter-Drug Support Capital Project. And the federal government seizes and sells assets from drug traffickers, and the proceeds of the sale of those assets are shared with organizations participating in the Department of Justice's asset forfeiture program, including our own DMVA. This funding supports law enforcement agencies in drug enforcement operations, assists in training enforcement officers, and provides community-based drug awareness programs. Again, no technical problems with this RPO.
Are there questions from committee members?
One, Madam Chair.
Representative Hawkins.
And this may be somewhat outside the scope of the RPL itself, but when we are accepting our National Guard funding related to the enforcement of criminal laws within the borders of the United States, are we running across any posse comitatus problems?
Representative Hawker, I love your choice of vocabulary. Could you explain that to the rest of us, or at least to me?
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Basically, the use of U.S. military forces to enforce civil law in the United States is generally
not an
allowable activity. I'm just, obviously, this is being offered by the feds. We're taking it.
I think you might want to ask the department on that question. I know that we have had a capital project for this purpose for a number of years. It's usually $100,000 per year, and I don't know what type of activities DMVA does. This, again, is training enforcement officers and community-based drug awareness programs. So it's certainly not all criminal, but some of it might be. And for that, I would say ask the department.
It's obviously, Madam Chair, we've obviously have had a precedent in the history with this program, so that satisfies my concern. It just makes my whiskers twizzle.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Do we have a representative from the department here? If you could approach, give us your name, affiliation for the record, and if you can provide us any comments on Representative Hawker's inquiry.
Madam Chairman, for the record, my name is Susan Culligan. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Through the Chair, Representative Hawker, as far as I know, we don't have any problems with that issue, but I can go back to the department and make sure we can give you a formal answer for that. But the counter drug support has been in effect, I believe, since I know that we've been participating in the asset forfeiture program since 1999, so I know the program's been in effect since then. We do educational programs within the school districts, counter drug support, that's part of their civil mission, and we do provide support to law enforcement agencies. We are not a law enforcement agency ourselves.
Thank you.
Representative Hawker, does that satisfy the request,
yes,
or should...
If you have an opportunity, an informal response would be fine, but it's you've satisfied my concern.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hawker. And if you could direct a response in writing to the chairman, we'll make sure that the entire committee is privy to that information. from seeing
Absolutely,
Hawker.
Absolutely, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Representative Hawker, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee approve RPL 09-4-0020 for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs in the amount of $150,000 of federal receipts.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, the RPL is approved. Next on the agenda, item number 4, we're going to be moving into executive sessions for the purposes of discussing confidential audit reports. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the committee under Uniform Rule 22 go into executive session for the purposes of discussing confidential audit reports under AS 24.20.301.
Are there any objections from committee members? Hearing no objections, I'll ask the room, the internet stream, and the teleconference be cleared for the executive session, with the exception of audit and committee staff and Senator Dunleavy when he arrives. Oh, he is here. Thank you for joining us, Senator Dunleavy. With that, we're going to take a brief at ease and move into executive session. Coming back from executive session, with me this afternoon, Representative Josephson, Representative Herron, Representative Osterman, online, Representative Kawasowski. In the room, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, Senator Giesel. We do have a quorum to continue business. Senator Giesel.
Madam Chair, I move the following final audit report be re-released to the public. State of Alaska single audit for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2012.
Is there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, the State of Alaska single audit for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2012 is re-released. Senator Giesel.
Madam Chair, I move the following preliminary audits be released to their respective agencies for response. Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Regulatory Commission of Alaska. Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, the Board of Marital and Family Therapy. Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Board of Examiners in Optometry. Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board. Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers. Department of Public Safety, Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Department of Health and Social Services, Alaska Healthcare Commission, Department of Natural Resources, Agriculture, Revolving Loan Fund, Selected Issues.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. The next item on the agenda is item number 5. We'll be hearing from Chris Curtis regarding the previous special audit request of the Alaska Regional Development Organizations. Ms. Curtis.
For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I'm legislative auditor. A audit request for the Alaska Regional Development Organizations was approved in an earlier meeting, and later in the session, the organization did not get extended. So it has this program no longer exists, so we're wanting to bring this again before the committee for a consideration of terminating the audit request.
Are there any comments from committee members? I believe we've reached out and spoken to Representative Hughes. I did not get a yay or nay from her. If I understand it correctly, my staff can correct me. She was ambivalent and willing to accept whatever the committee rendered as a decision on this issue. Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chris, what's the timing on, if you went ahead with the audit, what is the timing that we would have some type of report back?
Representative Osterman, the intent of the audit was to review the program. And so what we were thinking was that we would be able to start the audit next year and have something available for the next session after that. And that was, I think they were thinking about giving them a three-year extension, so that would be just enough time so they could consider the audit results. And since there's no program to audit, I don't know if we could even do an audit as it was originally envisioned.
Representative Osterman.
But the audit, if you're auditing the old program, and if we redefined it to the old program, you would have something to audit. I mean, you would be able to go through it and take a hard look at it. Where I'm leading here is I know there's going to be efforts, and I've heard about the efforts to reinstate the program, and I think it would be very good information if there was an audit on the old program that we had to work with in January when we got down there, but I don't know the timing. That was my question, I guess.
Ms. Curtis.
Senator Fairclough, Representative Osterman. We certainly could look at the old program, and since there was a ton of testimony, we could pull out those concerns. And about, I know for one thing that was raised was some of the agencies being more productive than others, and the type of information that they were getting and using it to award grants to the agencies. We certainly could do that and provide information to the legislature. The timing, though, would not, the audit would not be available during the next session. It would be the session after that.
Representative Herron.
So, Madam Chair, Ms. Curtis, why does the committee just suspend the request for now and then wait and see what happens in the next session?
Senator Fairclough, you know, this is the first time I've actually thought about terminating an audit request. It's an unusual thing. That sounds like a very reasonable idea.
I would just point out, too, that another very reasonable thing would be to withdraw what we have today so we actually know what is out there, because unless we want to go forward and just look retrospectively, which is an amendment to the current request, either, I think, will work for the committee. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If the ARDRs were being stated, could your office complete an audit by January of 2015? And I say this because it occurs to me that, anecdotally, I've heard what Representative Osterman said, that there's some interest in bringing them back. Of course, I'm somewhat familiar with the criticisms as well, but if they wouldn't be funded until July of next year at the earliest, then we wouldn't have wasted too much time. Am I getting that right?
Representative Justin, through the chair, if they are funded and they begin to operate in July, we will be in the same position we would be at right now as far as it being really a retrospective review of the organization, because any new change, we won't really be able to evaluate the results of that. However, we could, after we look back, we could determine whether any new changes that they've made to the program, and I know that the bills that were on the floor, they were significant changes, reporting changes, and that type of thing, the improvements they were looking at. So if those get incorporated, we certainly could to look at how it's being operated and whether those types of changes were going to be effective. We could do something like that for sure.
Representative Josephson, do you have a follow-up?
No, I guess I'm just wondering if a motion is going to be made today before we close out, or how we're going to...
We're going to work as a committee and
okay.
take care of
All
what
right.
we need to do. Representative Herron.
Well, I guess that, you know, when it comes to these ARDRs, I enjoy, if you call that word, one of the worst performing ones, and then me and Representative Osterman, we represent the best performing one. And so... I would say the chances of ARDRs returning are very good, and I would vote against terminating this request. I would just ask that it be suspended until further notice. If the legislature can't get its act together, then so be it.
Representative Josephson, did you have a follow-up? So, I have a question. Any other questions from committee members? Well, you haven't reviewed anything, so I guess it's a question to committee members. Some of the arters have more funding, and they're not gone. Is that correct? That they have funding resources from other entities outside the state. So we do have some active ones that are still going to struggle along without the state. Is that correct? And can you say it in the microphone? We have people listening. So I'm getting some heads nodding, but I'm just not sure that's going through the mic.
It's definitely correct because the AEDC is one of them. So, Economic Development Corporation here.
Thank you. So, Chris, I'm Representative Heron, I'm struggling with suspension because I think that we have to modify it in some way to be able to go forward. So, Ms. Curtis, is there a way that you can help the committee with some verbiage or language? I know it's on the fly, but it's the will, I believe, of the committee that we'd like to take. We'd like to keep you on task at trying to move forward with being able to provide us information in the future, and that there are specific committee members that have ARDRs in our communities that are functioning at different levels, and we'd like to have some kind of measurable, some type of measurement to take a look at these in comparison to others. So how might we modify our audit request to you to accomplish that task, understanding that it will be policymakers that make the final decision whether there's funding for, from a state perspective, in the next legislative cycle?
Senator Fairclough, here's an idea. We can look at the audit request and look at tweaking a word or two so that the request is more geared to looking retrospectively since the program is now gone. We're not going to start this for 6-8 months. And so that is quite a long time for something to happen. And when it comes time to actually starting the audit request, we can again look at the language of the request and discuss it in the committee and see what we want to do. And we can have that discussion before I start. So, in fact, we can even maybe, instead of making changes right now, we can just wait until it's closer to the start date. And during session, we meet more frequently. And we can just take it up at that point.
So without seeing other comments from committee members, we also have an October meeting that we could work in between now and then to possibly modify that request, work with the maker of the original request to have that language come back before us, or as has been suggested by the auditor. So with that, can we set this item aside so that it's sitting there active, or do we want to take the action to suspend it for 30 days? It's up to the committee. Again, for those listening on, the committee is shaking their head that we'll take up the issue in October. We'll look to the sponsor to see if we can make the language reflective as the committee requests and bring that issue back before the committee then. The next item before the committee is some subcommittee assignments. I'd like to take a brief at ease. We're back in session. Again, Senator Anna Fairclough, Legislative Budget and Audit. It's 3:45, and we are trying to move this along. We're getting ready to talk about performance review subcommittee. The subcommittee relates to the work the committee is now tasked with as a result of House Bill 30, state agency performance audits. Chris, can you help discuss what the subcommittee might do? I have a list of members that I have contacted to see if they were willing to serve on the subcommittee, but can you talk about what we might help you do?
Okay. HB 30 required performance reviews of every state department over a 10-year span of time. The first one is Department of Corrections, and we're already kind of behind the ball. We need to move forward with the committee. One thing that the committee is tasked with is approving the scope of the reviews. And the scope of the reviews really needs to be approved before I can go out for RFP on procuring experts to lead the review team. So we're under a time crunch and realized that, hey, we needed some type of structure in place to review the proposed scope. So that's really the main purpose of the subcommittee, is that review. And also, we need to amend the committee handbook to establish formal procedures on how we're going to go about the business of conducting these reviews, including the report process. So everything you see in the committee procedures right now relating to audits, those formal procedures, we're in the process of drafting those for HB 30. And I have the assistance of the prior legislative auditor, and she has done a draft of those. I haven't reviewed them, but I'll be bringing those also before the subcommittee to review if the chair is okay with that. So it's really over the next month, essentially, reviewing the draft scope and looking at the draft procedures so we can take those up at the October meeting. After that, we hope to go forward with an RFP so this review team can be up and going by the beginning of the year because they need to do their field work and get those reports drafted September-ish so we can get those out. I believe it says the December. In the December meeting, we're going to have to be releasing those because they need to be, the reports need to be provided to the chair of the finance committees, I believe, a week or two before session starts. So we're on quite the time crunch, and we hope to establish a process with which we can do this work. It's all new work. And really start maybe earlier for the next department, which is Department of Health and Social Services, which is going to be a grand undertaking. So we hope to really get a jump on that scope and do this more by maybe by the end of session for that group. So that's kind of the vision.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Representative Osterman.
How do you prioritize what you do as far as audits are concerned? I mean, you got requests that come from us now. We've got legislation that, and you've got annual, I don't know what they all are. But how do you prioritize? And are you mandated by regulation, by statute, or where are you at?
Representative Osterman through the chair. First, I do this. Audits? HB 30, never the two shall mix. Totally different. That's how I'm approaching it. Because the HB 30 reviews are not going to be audits, and they're not going to be conducted with the standards, and we're not going to be using auditing staff. At least we don't envision we're going to be using auditing staff. We have hired a staff person that's going to be leading this. So I'll be working with her to be drafting the scope. Those my energies will be doing that, and I know I have this timeline that's statutorily driven. So when it comes to prioritizing, it's the statutory drivers that really guide our whole agency's work. On the audit side, we have the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, that needs to be audited, opinion out by December 15th. So October, November, our staff is just overtime. It's very busy, busy. It's like the last 2 weeks of April for legislators. It's very, very busy. And that's our priority. We also have a federal requirement for the single audit by the end of March. So that's also a priority. And then we've got the sunset audits that have a statutory requirement that those audits be done before the... So all of those priorities fall into place, and then when we have resources, we do the special audit request. So the special audit requests, really, they're lowest on the priority list. So even HB 30, when we look at resources, because it's statutorily driven, you know, when I look at my time and my priorities, I will be spending and realizing that is a statutory timeline.
Representative Osterman.
Madam Chair, the reason that I ask, and I'd like to put this on our subjects for discussion in October, and at the recent CSG West meeting, there was quite a presentation, I believe, by New Mexico in reference to their audit system. And how they audit, but their focus was more on what they were saving in dollar value mm-hmm. for the mm-hmm. state and where the state could start saving money. So it's a conversation I want to have, and it appears to me in comparing what I heard from New Mexico and comparing to what we do here in the state of Alaska, there's a bit of a difference on what the audit division or department does. And I think it's a conversation we need to have. It appears that if
we change the whole dynamics of how we do the audits or what we do for audits, that there may be a whole different dynamics on what this division would do, but it also may mean that we would be auditing different things, auditing different departments on their efficiencies and things like that, that may save the state money. It may give us a better administration. It may give us a better operated state. It would mean more money for the division. We'd have to invest in that type of thing. I sometimes wonder and worry about underfunding the audit division because of the time frames and the requirements that they do have. But if we could have that conversation in October, it would be great.
Thank you. Again, Senator Fairclough, I'm appointing the following members to the subcommittee on performance review. Myself, Senator Bishop, Representative Hawker, Representative Herron, and Representative Kawasaki. All members except Representative Hawker are present. Are all members willing to serve?
Yes.
Representative Kawasaki, are you willing to serve?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I did, for the committee's edification, speak with Representative Hawker today. He said he was affirmative on that appointment, too. With that, we did have conversations regarding releasing documents for, for review, and we will be releasing those findings in October. And so some of those discussions that we had inside of those hearings will be taken up at the October meeting. With that, is there any other business to come before the committee?
The October date?
Ms. Curtis, have we established the date in October?
Senator Fairclough, we would really appreciate a meeting the Thursday or Friday, the second week of October. That is our preference. Gives time enough time for the agencies to respond. They have 20 days to formally respond, and it gives us admin time to pull such a large number of audits together, and then with some conferences, and then the crunch of our CAFR season.
Second week of October,
which like the 10th, 11th, I think 10th, 11th. Is that a Thursday, Friday?
I believe so. The 12th is the Spirit of Muldoon picnic for those listening at home, so I think that those dates are correct.
Thank you.
I'm out of town. So we'll pull the committee and we'll make sure that we have a quorum available, but those are the auditor's preference, so we'll see if we can get as close to that as possible. With that, is there any other items before the committee?
Just a quick clarification. The
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Performance Review Subcommittee, that was just for corrections?
That is correct, to help develop how we move forward. I think it will become interesting, as our auditor has noted, Health and Human Services is next, so we'll get to see how we put that together, work through that process, and then we probably will have ways to improve what we're doing. Is that fair, Ms. Curtis?
Yeah, first off, I think that's a very fair evaluation. I think we will learn quite a bit on this first round.
Again, any other comments from committee members before we depart? Representative Osterman. With that, we're adjourned.